Og så lægger vi over til filmnoter og Morten Vejlgaard Just.
Velkommen til Filmnoter. Dagens program har fokus på europæiske filmstemmer. Så i starten af februar måned, der tog jeg til Berlin Filmfestival, eller Berlinalen, som en af verdens største filmfestivaler hedder. Jeg tog ikke derned for at tale med alle de store filmstjerner på den røde løber. Det gør alle de andre jo. Nej, jeg tog derned for at tale med morgendagens store europæiske filmstjerner. Morgendagens filmstemmer. Blandt andet islandske Ása, der er instruktør, og hun drømmer om at få en af filmene fra hendes skrivebordskuffe finansieret. Jeg talte også med Hamid fra Istanbul, en filmjournalist, der har sine meninger om, hvordan morgendagens europæiske film skal se ud. Jeg talte med manuskriptforfatteren Jaula fra Athen om, hvordan man kunne mærke den tragiske finanskrisesituation i hendes fremtidige film. Og jeg talte med den unge London-filmkritiker Dasha om, hvordan hun ser fremtiden for filmkritik. Så lad os hilse på morgendagens filmtalenter.
Hi, I'm Dasha. I am a freelance film critic from London, and I am 22.
My name is Yula Budali. I come from Greece, Athens, and I'm here at the Berlinale with a script, part of the Script Station Lab program that they have, and it's called Hails, O Sargasso Sea, and we're starting today.
I am Hamit Özonur, I'm 26 years old and I'm a film critic from Turkey, so I'm here to do a whole coverage of the festival.
Hi, I'm Ása, I'm from Iceland, I'm a writer-director, I'm 29 and I'm here at the Berlinale with my first feature film project, The Swan, which will be presented at the co-production market.
Tell a bit more about this film.
The Swan is an adaptation of a beautiful Icelandic novel called The Swan by Guðbergur Bergsson, and it's a story of a 9-year-old girl who is from a broken home, and she's sent, well, when her mother has a nervous breakdown, she is sent to the countryside for the summer to work and to mature, but instead she finds herself soon deeply entangled in a drama that's going on in the farm, and a drama that she actually doesn't really have the tools to understand.
So I'm here as part of the Berlinale Talents, which basically means that Germany, because it's the only country that has money in the EU, is giving us free accommodation and flights to review the festival, or at least as many films as we can watch. And it's actually pretty useful because we get mentors. So I have a Dutch film critic who's very useful. We meet up her once a day. I have an assignment. She comments on my writing. And hopefully by the end of the week, my writing style will be much better. That's the idea. And I'm basically in my spare time watching films back to back, which I'm not sure is the best thing to do, but it's enjoyable.
It's not about only movies, you know, it's about making connections, it's about meeting with people, talking to them about movies, and I would love to see a lot of good movies, of course, that's one aspect of it, but I want to talk with fellow cinema people all over the world and see how they think about the movies, about the whole cinema industry, European cinema, and that was so far very good, actually. I have met with a lot of beautiful people.
It's a great opportunity with this script station that they have organized to work one-on-one with very, very good mentor script editors that have been in the industry for a long time and have mentored a lot of scripts. And also it's a collection of 10 selected scripts that we're part of, and from all over the world, so it's a great opportunity to meet people that write right now for cinema, directors and script writers. So it's the exchange on the level of creators between us, but also the mentors that we're going to work one-on-one with them, developing the script.
I started out actually as a student of literature in Iceland, and then soon things started to move towards film more and film studies, and I fell in love with cinema, and I thought, oh, this is actually what I'm really excited about. And I think it was actually when I saw Mulholland Drive, which I'm sure many other filmmakers say, that's when I really thought, oh wow, these kind of things are possible in film. And it seemed like poetry and other films, like films Tarkovsky and Ingmar Bergman, Lucrezia Martel, I can go on and on. So I went to study, I applied for film school in New York, and which had been sort of a dream for a while to move, to get away from Iceland and move to New York City. And I was really happy to get into Columbia, and I went there to study film. And now I recently moved back to Iceland, at least temporarily, and am trying to make this film, which is set in Iceland. And so that's where my work is, and that's where my heart is right now.
The script is placed in a rural area in Greece. It's not in Athens, this one. This is the third feature film that I'm writing, and it's the first one that it's out of Athens. And you can really see it there, because it has a very specific local flavor. And the main protagonists are two very strong women that don't fit in. And you can really get from the ambience of the film that it is still a very traditional, it is still a very macho society. And for female characters, even to stand out, it creates huge waves. And I think that's one of the things that Greek people will identify for sure, that it is Greek. And also, it is a story about facing everyday corruption and everyday humiliations that have become kind of everyday life right now. And that is also very Greek.
Turkish cinema has two sides. There is the art house cinema in Turkey that has very great names, Nuribike Ceylan and Zeki Demirkubuz. They hire them and they are creating their films with maybe state funding or from the funding they find with co-producers among Europe. And they are doing a great job. But that's not actually furthering the Turkish cinema, because they are auteurs that's just, you know, that are dealing with their own world. And that world doesn't unite Turkish cinema as a whole. And there's this new wave of Turkish directors as well, but they're usually political people. They are trying to create a cinema that is created around politics. So, of course, there are very good examples of it as well, but when you are trying to create something that is contemporary as politics around something like that, then it doesn't become timeless, you know. After 5 years, nobody will care about these movies.
I'd like to get a permanent job, really. But also, in terms of my writing, I'd like to find a distinctive style that is the same no matter what publication or review I'm writing for, because at the moment I'm very aware of the nature of the review that I have to write, or whether it's a review, a feature, kind of a covering of a press conference, and also I'm aware of the needs of the specific publication, perhaps too much, and I'd like to concentrate on having an overall style that is distinctive to me.
What is the place for European cinema, you think?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's just this idea that, as opposed to genre or, you know, more bankable types of films, that there is a kind of simpler sort of film, which is just maybe a story about people or something, you know, that's not involving vampires or, you know, even though I mean, I love Let the Right One In, and not saying anything against those kinds of films, but I think it's sometimes challenging to just make films about human drama and kind of the sort of endless, well, I don't know what to call it.
Especially in French cinema and in British cinema, things are changing really fast, and they are kind of converging to the mainstream side of cinema. And that is actually very alarming for me. But of course, there are still lots of really good author directors, and they find their funding really easily. But that's not about it.
For me, it's interesting right now, if we're talking about the Europe the way it is right now, to have, first of all, powerful stories from individual countries, but also to start and see powerful stories, collaborations between countries, like fantastic road movies crossing Europe. This is a generation that has been raised with an integrated Europe, and I don't know whether it will sustain itself, Europe, but the borders mentally have dropped in a lot of people of our generation, and it would be interesting to see stories that use that information and use that experience. It hasn't really happened yet, and I don't really mean in terms of production, co-productions only, but also in terms of script, stories, the plot, to have that as a theme. But at the same time, of course, each country has very specific past and present and wishes for the future that needs help to bring them out, especially countries with less financial, with more financial difficulties.
I think European cinema is really conforms to this idea of European art house that's, you know, distinctly different from Hollywood and sort of British kitchen sink drama cinema. And I think, rather than that being liberating because it's supposedly avant-garde cinema, that's actually quite confining.
It's never been a doubt in my mind that I do feel like a European filmmaker, more than even though I actually grew up partly in the States and then studied there. There's something, well, very exciting to me about European cinema. I mean, and not only because of the history, but I think there's sometimes a kind of emotional honesty to films, maybe sort of raw emotional honesty, and there's, you know, I was watching an interview with Joachim Trier, and he was saying that, you know, as a filmmaker, you should, it was really beautiful what he said, as a filmmaker, you should dare ask the questions about difficult subject matters, you know, like suicide, or he was talking about his film, Oslo, August 31st, and you should dare ask them without there being a simple answer, because you should be opening up a dialogue without simple answers, and just to dare actually ask the questions that are sometimes difficult. And I think that I feel like I see that more in European films.
Well, if Europe is, by Europe we mean the idea behind the institution of European Union, we still don't have films that would be able to be labeled European in that respect. But of course, all creation within Europe, yeah, of course, these are all European films. And they do share something, because this continent does share links from centuries back, but at the same time, there's huge freedom. I mean, you in Denmark have this amazing opportunity to have Lars von Trier, which is, yeah, I mean, it's pioneering in cinema in general. This, so I don't know, it is European cinema, but also it is, you know, something bright in the whole universe of cinema globally.
There's this very famous quotation, and actually I don't remember the whole quotation, but it was saying something like this. It was saying that we have exhausted all kinds of ways of expression, so we don't have any other new breaths, new ways of thinking or ways of expressing ourselves. But I want to believe that the cinema is gonna, you know, change itself one more time, because we are in a right now gem, because the American cinema cannot find any subject to go anymore. They are either creating adaptations, they are either creating big budgeted action movies or romantic comedies, and that is all that is coming out of it. And even the American independent cinema began to do things exactly one another. If you go to Sundance and if you try watching movies in Sundance, you're gonna see that all movies are somehow have the same structure. So it means that we have yet to find something new in ourselves to create something new.
What is my dream film of the from the future? Well, I have to say, the one that I'm writing now is my dream film of the future. I hope it doesn't take 10 years to be made. It is really hard right now collecting money to make independent cinema. And it's great to be in venues where you can work as an independent artist. And Berlinale is one of these places that it's not just about big production companies, but individual artists also. But I don't know what in 10 years, what my film will be like and how the red carpets will be like then.
In 10 years' time, I hope that I will... I have a few films sort of in my desk drawer, and I hope that one of them will... I hope that all of them will get made, and... I don't want to say too much about the story, but I think that I am excited about the new places that Icelandic cinema, for example, can go to. And I'm someone that always writes stories that I think are somewhere in between here and there, or, you know, Iceland or North America or Europe. And I think that's how it's always going to be. And so I can't really answer this question except by saying I just hope that it's going to be one of these films that's in my desk drawer right now. But I'm very either way, I'm very excited about the opportunity of being able to make them, hopefully.
Det var alt for filmnoter. Dine europæiske filmtalenter blev mikrofonholdt af Morten Vejlgaard Just. Kontakt redaktionen på filmnoter@den2radio.dk eller find os på facebook.com/filmnoter. På genhør.